In the book of John, chapter 8, let's begin with verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in me, or you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word abide there can be translated continue. And so that's what I want to talk about, continuing to move forward until he returns. One more verse of scripture, which I didn't have you to turn to, but it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It has the same idea here. It says, about after the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were warned to the kingdom of God, verse 42 says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers." So, I want to talk to you about continuing to move forward until Jesus returns. Amen. That's what we must do. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd bless the ministry of the word of God. Touch the hearts and the lives of people. Do what nobody else can do, God. I pray your Holy Spirit would minister life and strength, encouragement, and grace to each of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When it comes to serving God and living this life, I don't find anywhere to stop. Amen. I don't find any reason to slow down on living for God or serving God or ministry of any kind that God has called us to. I don't find any place in the scripture where we quit doing God's will for the church. I don't find any age when we stop. But Jesus is surely coming again, and you and I want to be found doing the will of God when he does return. Jesus spoke a parable on that, or spoke some scripture concerning that. But scripture tells us to continue. There may be things that you don't do that you used to do. If you're old enough, that's the truth. And there's things that we got to continue to do. And we must keep on doing mainly what God called us to do. And we must keep on being in pursuit of the things of God. And as children of God, we're not in pursuit of the sinful pleasures of this world. We're in pursuit of doing the will of God. And to pursue the love, the faithfulness, the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. And so here in Scripture, it's stated, if you abide, or if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And so we want to continue to be abiding in Christ, or continuing in our pursuit of the things of God. The word free here on the next verse says, you shall know the truth shall make you free. The word free refers to the freedom from the bondage of sin. Obedience to the Lord means fellowship with him. It means protection from sin. And it means experiencing his love, and it means eternal life. Praise the Lord. And so we want to continue moving forward for God. Let's be in pursuit of the things of God. He's got the best life that there is to live, the only life there is to live, in my opinion. Praise God. And so, and I'm right on that one. Praise the Lord. No, God's word's right. That's what it is. First, we must continue the mission and purpose of the church. And there's a lot of things that have purpose message, purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, all that's good. But we must continue what God has called the church to be. And I'm speaking somewhat to one of the fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God, and that is that the purpose of the church was to evangelize the world, and number two, to worship, and number three, to edify or encourage or strengthen the people that are in the faith. And so I want to focus on that just for a couple of minutes this morning. Then I'll focus on something else for a couple of minutes. Amen. But first, we must continue the mission and purpose of the church. And God's purpose for the church, the reason he established the church, is that it might evangelize the world and to spread the good news to all peoples, places, all cultures, all places in the world. And God has he doesn't care what color skin you are, where you came from, or what you are. God, Jesus died for you just like he died for everybody else. Amen. And there will be a day in glory land in heaven that people from all tribes and tongues and nations will gather before the throne of God. There will be people saved from every walk of life that you can imagine, every culture and every nationality that you can imagine upon this planet. There will be people saved, born again of God's Spirit. They'll be shouting glory with us together. We'll be one of the kingdom of God, shouting out and crying out glory and honor to the Lamb of God. We're not going to sit down and ask God questions and ask him why this or that. We're going to fall at his feet and cry, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Hallelujah. So the church, Jesus gave the command that his responsibility is to evangelize the world. Amen. I had a pastor tell me years ago, he said, I quit trying to win the world. He was discouraged because he couldn't win anybody in his own city, so he said, "I've give up on that a long time ago." Well, I haven't give up on that. If Jesus said to keep doing this, that's what we're going to keep doing. Amen. He wasn't wrong. Jesus is right. Jesus said, "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so we know that God's command was that we continue his purpose in life to build his church. And Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But even the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he tells people there what his mission was. And Paul could have swelled with pride because he was a Pharisee of all Pharisees before his conversion. And then he had all kinds of knowledge that you can have about the first four books of your Bible. He was skilled in the Pentateuch. He could quote you verses. He could do this. He could do that. But he was lost until Jesus saved him. And he met Jesus on the Damascus Road one day, and God changed his life and made one of the greatest preachers ever, the Apostle Paul. He comes to the church at Rome, and Rome was the world ruler of that day, and Rome was powerful. They were mighty. They had powerful armies, and they conquered the most of the known world of their time, but yet they needed a church in Rome. Amen. Different than the one there today, but they needed a church in Rome. And so Paul came to that place, and he had the words of Jesus on his mind when Jesus said to evangelize all the world. And he said in Romans 1, "I am indebted to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." What Paul was saying here, people are dying and going to hell if you don't respond to this gospel. And he didn't want people to be lost, and so he was doing, obeying Christ's command before he left this world, and that was to take the gospel to all the world. And I'll tell you, friend, the burden of my heart is I want every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet in regions that cannot, where people do not know where they are, to hear the gospel message. And my prayer is that there will be a Bible in the hands of every person on this planet. And if they can't read, if there will be Bibles by the way of every means of communication, by sound, by printed word. And so that's what the church must continue to do, is to send this gospel to the ends of the earth. And we know that the world is increasingly wicked. It's full of human trafficking, which hurts me. We're supporting missionaries that are helping people get out of that. The world is full of abuse stories, broken homes, and broken relationships of all kinds. Ungodly unions, perverted kinds of things are coming up. People need God. I don't care what sin you hate the most, or what sin you can imagine not people doing. There are people that are bound by that sin, and Jesus loves them as much as he loves you and I. And he wants them to be set free and delivered. And we cannot say, "Well, God didn't, he don't have anything to do with that." Yes, he will. He had something to do with all humanity. Praise God, because he died for all of us. I remember a few years ago, I got to listen to David Wilkerson preach at Beaumont, Texas, down there on a convention they were having. And so David Wilkerson got to preach one of the last sermons he preached before he died. Died shortly after that in a car accident. But he was called, of course, to New York City to start Teen Life Challenge, in which he did. And we know that many people were saved, born again. I mean, it was a changed thing. It was a wonderful thing there. powerful thing. Amen. It's when a great story is that of Nicky Cruz being saved from a war gang there that was in the street gang. And God gloriously saved him, many of his friends and people, and Chain Challenge continues today, not just in New York City, but in many places. But Brother Wilkerson was saying, he said, I went back to New York City a few days ago, and he said, I could not believe what I was hearing. And he said, people were saying on the street, said, this is what you can do to die. This will make you go. This will make you die. You take this stuff, and it killed a famous singer in some singing group. He said, if you can die like what that singer's name was, if you take this stuff. And they were selling it on the street corners. Stuff that would kill you physically. And Brother Wilkins said, I could not believe that had happened since the time that I had been there preaching on the streets. Because you see, sin never gets better. It only progresses to get worse and worse until it destroys a person. And truly the enemy of our soul has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But that verse doesn't end there. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Our Christ is Savior and Lord. He's life. Amen. And so the world has got to hear this. So we must continue in our mission to work as a church. Secondly, we must continue to worship God, to glorify the Creator who made salvation, deliverance, eternal life, eternal hope, eternal love popular. Not popular, but possible. Amen. And so God wants us not only to evangelize the world, but as a church, He wants us to worship Him. And we've done that this morning. Praise God. And so we don't come here to worship each other. Amen. Thank God. We don't come here to inspect everybody's fruit, see if you're fruity enough. Take it any way you want to. But we come here to lift Him up. I want to be in the presence of God when I come here. I want to be in the presence of God even when I'm not here. Amen. I want to worship God. But that's what church is supposed to do when we come together to worship, to glorify the Creator who made all these things possible for you and I. Amen. And worship, when we worship God, it revives us. It restores us. It renews us. Praise God. And Paul said to the church at Rome again, he had a lot to say to Rome. He said, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. He said, don't just say, I'll be there in spirit. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So when we worship, we come so that God can get into us on the inside and begin to speak to our inner man and our heart, amen, and our spirit man, and begin to revive and renew and restore us. Amen. And if the church ever needed revival, it needs it today. I know that's been said many times, but I do believe that if we come into worship and in the presence of the Almighty God, God will revive, restore, renew. We can walk out of this place willing, ready to face a new world on Monday, and we can live a victorious, overcoming life, not a defeated life, not a down life, not in despair and fear, but live a life, amen, that's empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand as a light to this world that desperately needs a light, the light of Christ. Amen. Comes to worship, people worship all sorts of things. And people put other things before God, and it becomes their idol. Whatever you replace God with becomes idolatry. It's not that it's a sin to do everything, but it is a sin to put things before God during the place of God, or things become more important than God in your life. It's idolatry. In the book of Psalms, it says, first chapter 135, I won't read all of them. There's 150 of them. Psalms 135, 15, it says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. He's talking about idols here. Nor is there any breath in their mouth. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. He's speaking of people that are given over to the worship of things, given over to the worship of idol things. You may not, an idol might not be some statue that you worship. or that people worship, but it may be a possession, it may be a place, it may be other people. But we're to worship God, because the things that mankind can produce, they cannot communicate with the one true God. We've got to be born again of God's Spirit, filled with His Spirit, then we can communicate with the real God, the only God there really is. Praise the Lord. So when we gather to worship, we worship a living God, not a dead God, but a living God. We worship a risen Savior, one who gives life, who gives hope, who gives love, who gives eternal life, eternal hope, and eternal love. I want to tell you something, friend. What God gives is eternal. God is not temporary. God is eternal. Amen. We're not looking at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but those things which are not seen, they're eternal. You look at the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. Those are eternal things. That's what we're going to enjoy eternity with. There's going to be eternal peace, eternal hope, eternal love, eternal grace, eternal kindness. It's all of God. It's the character of God. It's who He is. We're going to be with Him and experience all of that forever. Hallelujah. So we worship God. We assemble to worship. We don't assemble to criticize. Some people do, but we don't. I'm going to just say that by faith. We assemble to worship to be in God's presence, not to criticize or judge others or see what others fail to do. Because when you start that, then the list becomes longer and longer, and after a while you get to realize you're preaching to yourself instead of everybody else. You know, we don't come to see or to be seen. We come to worship the Lord. Amen. It's all about Him. And we have a tendency to look at people sometimes. You say, what's wrong with that guy? What's wrong with that woman? Yeah. Yeah. So we'll look in the mirror. But anyway, you know, people say something like, you know, what's the matter with that man? Doesn't he know how to teach his adolescent son to shave both whiskers? Did you see what she was wearing today? Did you see what he was wearing? Did you see what they were doing? Instead of worshiping God, we got our eyes on people who are faulty and people who are not perfect. But when we concentrate upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He's never going to be anything but absolute holiness and perfection. Hallelujah. Worship God. We're here to worship. Also, the church is to be a place where people are edified. That means to be built up or to be encouraged by other believers. I thank God that we can encourage one another through testimony, through fellowship. And we can point other people to Christ. Like John the Baptist came, he says, I must decrease, but Christ must increase. Praise the Lord. He realized that he had to die to himself continually, to all of his humanity that wanted to concentrate on me. And said, it must be Christ instead of me. He said, I must decrease, but He must increase. And that's what the Christian life is. As you begin to get closer to God, draw near to God, Jesus means more to you than He ever did. Hallelujah. He'll mean more to you today, amen, than He did yesterday. You'll walk with God. You'll live for God. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect in your life. It won't mean you won't have trials and tests along the way. But it does mean that we have a Savior who cares and knows. And we don't have to worry about Him running off and leaving us somewhere. He's here with us always. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're here not only to worship. We're all here to encourage one another in the faith. Praise the Lord. We're here to pray for one another. And pray for one another when they're enduring sickness, pain, trial, discouragement, any problem. Amen. Over in the book of James, it gives us really strong words about prayer. And I believe that when the church comes together, we ought to pray for one another. I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary for people to come down here and want prayer. You can't get prayed for at church. What are we here for? Amen. We're here to encourage one another in the faith. Amen. Agree together with people to be healed, to be ministered to, whatever their need is, to have God's help along the way. Know that there's people praying for one another. Hallelujah. And so, in the book of James chapter 5, I know this has to do with divine healing, and I thank God for divine healing. I still believe in it. Praise God. I'm a miracle of it. I should be dead, but I'm not. So God, because God healed me in a miraculous way of something that almost killed me. Many of you can testify to similar things. But here in James it says, chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. When I was a kid, a lot of times if you're real sick, mom and daddy might let you stay home, but if you're just kind of sick, they would send you to church to be prayed for so you could get healed. Amen. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. It says here something we don't like to read. You don't hear this verse read very often. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so we're here to pray, to edify, to encourage one another in the faith. My friend, I'm not here to tell you how bad you are, how bad you're doing. Because when I do that, I got to look at myself also. I'm just as human as anybody. I'm just called to do what I do. God didn't tell us to feel sorry for ourselves. He told us you, when things are going, pray through. That's what he's telling you to do. Pray through. Pray through to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Till you can pray to God in tongues or a different language. If you can't do that, praise God. God will help you and give you that. Hallelujah. And so we must continue to be the church. Also, we must continue in the will of God to be disciples of Christ. Are those who live, believe, and follow the words and the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Amen. And so that's what we're doing. But we must continue to hear and to hear God's word and hear what he says. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. If we're not continuing in his word, that means we're not a follower of Christ. But if we're continuing in his word, God didn't call us to stop somewhere. He told us to continue living for God, continue working for God, continue in your walk with God. Amen. Continue to live for him, to serve him. Amen. Continue to be a person of prayer. Don't fake what you are, just be what you are. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, then be one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The idea of continuing in Christ is something that people have trouble with sometimes. They get saved, born again, on fire for God, and then after a while that the new kind of wears off. It's not God's fault it does, but many times it does. And I'm amazed many times at Teen Life Challenge here, and I believe in Teen Life Challenge. We support it regularly. Have them here in our church at least once a year to tell how God's changed them. But many of the testimonies that come out of Teen Life Challenge are people that they will say, I was raised right, I was raised in church, I was taken to church every Sunday, and I was taught that, but somewhere along in my teen years, or that it's not limited to teens, but in my years I got away from God and didn't live right, and then somewhere along the line God began to talk to my heart and I got back right with God, but I failed to continue until then, till God got to dealing with me again. And so many of their testimonies will come as the result that they didn't continue with God in the first place, but they had to get back to God somewhere in their life. I'm thankful that God didn't cast us off if we fail once. Praise the Lord, or nobody would be saved. But that's what God can do. But we must continue. Colossians 1:23, God makes a promise to the church here. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which that tells us, you know, it is possible to be moved away from it. But which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So Paul taught that you've got to continue walking with God, continue in the faith. We're saved by grace, not works. We couldn't do one thing to save ourselves, but once we are saved, once we are born again, it's our responsibility to make the choice to continue in our pursuit and our follow of God as Savior. Amen. And the early church gives us the example. They continue to live for God. I mean, the Holy Spirit had been outpoured on the day of Pentecost. 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. They all spake with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Not as somebody else gave them utterance as an evangelist. No, but they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them an utterance. Amen. You get where I'm coming from. Okay? And so they were powerful. They were filled. They were ready to get out and do something for God. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. The Bible says after that happened, they came together, and the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayers. That's a four-point sermon right there, which I won't preach all of it, much of it, unless, anyway, okay. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching of the apostles. You see what they taught in the second chapter there. They taught the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and they taught repentance. As a matter of fact, Peter got up and preached on the day of Pentecost. He left no stones unturned. He said Christ died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He says, Christ, who you killed, amen, he made it straight that he was the reason. They were the reason. And we're all the reason because all have sinned. Amen. The apostles' doctrine, their teaching about being saved by faith through the blood of Christ, they continued in their fellowship. They continued in breaking bread. They continued in prayers. And that doctrine, I believe they kept preaching and teaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit with initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You see it many places in the book of Acts. You can't leave that out. Amen. That is one of the major doctrines of New Testament. Praise the Lord. We must continue in the will of God. And when people don't continue, they backslide and they quit loving Jesus who loved them. You don't want to turn away from God. Let me relate one other example here, and that's an Old Testament example. And Lot's wife, her name is never mentioned, we'll call her Lottie. The Old Testament, Lot's wife. Lot and his family were told to get out of town because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with hail and fire from heaven. And so we know that God told them, you get out of this place, don't look back, don't look back to see anything, you just get on out of here. And so his family went on, Lot's family went on, but Lottie, she turned around and looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And I believe that says perhaps she looked back with her heart still in Sodom, as awful as it was. And in Luke 17:32, Jesus warns everybody, says, remember, short verse, remember Lot's wife. Amen. And so he's saying, don't look back, pick up and go forward, continue going on forward with God. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I want to tell you something. God's given everything that he could possibly give for you and I. He gave his own son, everything. Amen. For wicked people, ungodly people, people you would never give your kid for. But God demonstrated his own love toward us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved that he gave. Amen. Popular verse. Amen. If you had any Sunday school experience, you learned it as a kid. John 3:16. Amen. Whosoever will, whoever can receive the word of life and be saved, born again, and be a part of God's kingdom, my friend, let's continue on in the faith. Praise the Lord. If you continue in the faith, then indeed you are my disciples. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. We're free today, born again, because Jesus continued what he started to do, and he hasn't quit. He continues by his Holy Spirit to encourage us to pick up and to go on and keep going forward for God. Amen. Would you stand with me? My friend, as a church, we must finish the race that we've started. We must continue on in the things of God. The writer of Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, brother, and I do not count myself to have apprehended. He said, I haven't got there and ahead of everybody else, but he said, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling, upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. At the end of his life, he could say, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. One day, Jesus will come. He will call his church, his people, usher us into the kingdom of God. Amen. And I'll tell you, We don't need to be so humanity in this. I'm not worried about whose mansion will look better than the other ones. No, we just want to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. It's not by what all we're going to get there. It's just to be in Christ's presence, just to fall at his feet and cry, holy, say, Jesus, you did it all for me. And it was all a gift of his grace. Amen.